Well, Churchill said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Ha! Warts and all, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the best thing going for bold Book of Concord Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The scriptures are actually true. We confess the ancient Catholic faith. We're the truest of evangelicals. The gospel alone saves. We are not a sect. God's saving acts are still going on in preaching of the word, absolution, baptism, body and blood of Christ, all for forgiveness. From all this comes peace of conscience, joy, and eternal hope. The LCMS is a global force, and I'm going to make the case for it.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th, at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Victory for our God. Alleluia.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading is written in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and some of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As a kid, I loved the Arch books. Still do. The older ones are the best. Great illustrations, captivating rhymes. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, not breaking a sweat. I was captivated by Daniel in the lion's den. The entrance blocked and sealed. When Darius found him alive and well, it was like Easter morning. But not all stories have happy endings, at least not in the here and now. Early Christians were thrown to the lions and became their supper. Polycarp faced the flames, and the fire consumed him. Some conservative scholars contend that Luke wrote the book of Acts at an early date. They argue that if Luke would have written later, he surely would have included the stories of Peter's upside-down crucifixion and Paul's beheading. Well, I agree that Luke wrote early, finished his work before Nero went on his killing spree. But the book of Acts wouldn't have worked if it had ended with the deaths of Peter and Paul. Such stories would have provided a false climax, would have distracted us from the death that mattered most. Unlike Peter and Paul, Stephen was an expendable character. His death wasn't like that of Old Yeller or Brian of Brian's Song. It wasn't meant to leave us in tears. He's like Nemo's mom, like Bambi's mother, who died at the beginning of the film. Stephen's martyrdom propels the story forward, but is not dwelled upon. Stephen is like a blocking back who makes it possible for the star to score. His death was a sacrifice fly. Stephen takes one for the team, sets a pick and gets flattened so that someone else can make the layup. Stephen's sermon sets the stage for a church that would be driven away from Jerusalem. The temple had outlived its purpose, and Stephen was impolite enough to take notice. From now on, God would make himself known on the road to Emmaus, ever to Emmaus, in the breaking of bread and prayers as the gospel was taken to the ends of the earth. The Old Testament priests would need to polish up their resumes, and for this hard truth, Stephen paid the price. He died as a witness to the truth that some things are worth fighting, dying for. But the story of Stephen is no tragedy. Stephen dies well because he learned from the Master. Like our Lord in Jerusalem, Stephen speaks boldly. Like our Lord on the Mount of Olives, he kneels in prayer. Like our Lord on the cross, he offers up a prayer of foolish love that believes all things. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Our Lord was indeed with Jonah in the belly of the whale, with Daniel in the lion's den, and with the three men in the fiery furnace. But was our Lord with Stephen? Some are fond of saying that the Lord sits on his throne and is not nervous. True enough. But at the death of Stephen, our Lord is not seated, but standing. If he is not quite anxious, he's surely riveted by the events unfolding. When the disciples were in the boat, tossed about by wind and waves, they cried out, "Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" Of course our Lord cares, even when he appears to be sleeping, even when he intends to pass by. When a Christian suffers for his name, Jesus takes it personally. No doubt our Lord was thinking about Stephen's death when he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Who are our heroes today? The rich, famous, and powerful have no hold on our imagination. We are impressed by those who willingly suffer for the name of Jesus. All the world is a stage, but even more for us as Christians. At our Lord's death, the people watched and see what would happen, how he would handle it. In his own ministry, Paul says, "For I think God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle, a theater to the world, to angels, and to men." To the 12, our Lord said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great." Stephen's name is surely written in the book of life, and his story, while not a climax, provides a glorious chapter. A laborer is worthy of his hire, and we all seek to be rewarded for our work. The question for us is whether we will seek the treasure that moths cannot eat and rust cannot corrode. Whether with Stephen, we will whether unlike Stephen, we will seek the praise of men or the praise of the Son of Man who stands and watches. And so our Lord cries out, "Can I get a witness?" Stephen answers the call, and his death becomes a catalyst of faith, the kind of example that would turn the hearts of a hard-headed Saul. Having prayed for persecutors, we are told that Stephen fell asleep. Sleep is no euphemism. To speak of sleep is not to deny a grim reality, but to see death for what it now is, a portal into things much more glorious. Upon death, our Lord was buried by the likes of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, was laid into his tomb, his body covered with cloths of linen. And in the morning, he arose and folded the burial cloths like we might make our beds at the start of a new day. Those who follow in the train of Stephen shall also experience death as a sleep. Christians honor the body and proclaim the resurrection in our burial practices, which are to be preferred to cremation, which tells another story. Devout men buried Stephen, and they made a great lamentation over him. But they did not weep as the world weeps, for with Stephen they had a sure hope in the resurrection. And when we enter into the heavenly places, we will see Stephen in glory, sporting the martyr's crown. And we with him will give thanks to the Lord who stood by and watched so that we might have a witness to the resurrection. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, O Lord, all pastors as they labor in the calling to serve your holy people. Fill them with zeal and devotion for your glory and the salvation of souls, and grant that both by their lives and labors they may show forth your holy word to us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. Lead our enemies to true repentance, that they may know the truth of your word, confess that Christ is the only way of salvation, and finally have a share in the eternal life that he has prepared for all who trust in him. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, be the helper of the needy and the hope of those in distress. Uphold the cause of the oppressed. Give food to the hungry and shelter to the homeless. Set free those imprisoned by sickness of body and mind, and comfort those who mourn. Watch over the unborn, and sustain the fatherless and the widowed. Lord, in your mercy. Give grace, O Lord, to all who approach the altar this day, that they do so worthily in faith. Nourish them with Christ's body and blood, and clothe them with the forgiveness of sins, that with faith strengthened they may joyfully serve the neighbor in love. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, thank you. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen.